Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. Alistair, if you think about it, all...
I'm Alistair George William Chobley Birchall.
All gliding is hang gliding if you do it with your friends. And I guess you you shout things to each other out the window, you know.
What's the shouting part?
I guess hanging. Like if you want to hang, you need to sort of in some way be communicating. Do you think hanging with your friends implies you must communicate with them in some way?
Yeah, but you know what? Like, which part of hanging involves a which style of hanging were you imagining that involves a window?
I said all gliding is hang gliding if you do it with your friends. So I'm picturing your glider has a window and you're shouting through the window to your friends. It's part of the hanging.
Oh, gliding. Yeah, sorry. I was picturing hanging. So like, how about this? It's a noose with a window.
Yes. Oh, interesting. Is it? So you can hang.
Is it like a green noose?
A green noose.
Yeah, that's a noose made entirely out of windows.
Like a green house. Is that what you think?
Like a green house, yeah, which is a house made out of windows.
Is that what the prefix green means?
I think so.
Made out of windows.
Out of windows.
Oh, that explains a lot.
Yeah. I can't think of another thing that starts
Greenland.
With green. I guess Greenland.
Green gauges. Did you say Green Lantern?
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, all right, okay.
A lantern, though, is definitely something that's already made out of windows.
That was the second piece of evidence that proves the rule.
No, but Andy, I think that but then when you call it the Green Lantern, I think that then eliminates the windows,
it becomes a man. Cancel out the windows.
A double green, a double window, already makes a man. So if you say green greenhouse, it's actually, that's just a big guy.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. You know what I realized today for the first time, is that I found, cause I'm going through notebooks so that I can, you know, throw them away. And then
you're digitizing them. And by that, I mean, turning them into a finger.
Yes, I'm turning it into fingers, and then I'm going to take those fingers and I'm going to, I don't know, tap on them. I noticed that when we did the 400th episode, I had started a brand new notebook. And that's where I'd written all the sketch ideas in, and it's a very big notebook. And then it occurred to me, I could put all of the Two in the Think Tank, lists of ideas, pages, into one notebook.
Alistair, isn't that what we used to be doing all the time?
No, we had a pad initially, but then since then, all of the sheets are loose around my place. You know, like I've been finding sheets along the way, and I'm piecing together the years and years of stuff. And then there's notebooks all over the place that have random pages as well.
I mean, they truly are the scrawlings of a madman. That's real.
They really are.
You know, Kevin Spacey's notebook mad shit.
Why
is it that absolutely psychopaths, one of the first things they lose all respect for the laws of is, you know, ruling a margin on a page, layout, you know, structuring a...
Yeah. I mean, it depends. I guess maybe they were so mad that they missed even getting the rules.
Well, they're on the margins of society. very often.
That's right. And that's maybe, where they start to write.
Maybe they think that I don't need another margin at this point. I've had all the margins.
Margin
I can
trading?
Eat. Margin training? Sorry?
No, margin. I said margin trading.
Ah.
That's, I think, when you have money in a trading account.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then it allows you to borrow something like 8 to 10 times what you have.
Oh, it sounds good already.
And then place that on a highly volatile stock.
Yes.
Yeah. And then you hope that it goes up. And then you make or lose 10 times the amount that it does that when you sell.
Mm.
Or it goes down so much that it liquidates you and you lose everything.
Yeah. But maybe you didn't have much
what you
own. Maybe you didn't have much to begin with.
That's true. Mm. I mean, maybe that's what you should do. You should just start with very little and then get yourself to a point where you can lose exponentially. Like, let's say you keep making money, but then you're also putting yourself in a position where you can lose so much more than you have ever had.
This is why I've always said that the poor are actually way better off than the rich, than the ultra wealthy. The poor, because...
I've always said that. You do always say that, Andy. And why is that?
Because they can afford to lose everything very easily, and it won't affect them all that much. And that I consider to be the greatest form of riches. Immunity.
Just being able to lose everything. Immunity. Yes. I mean, I'm not sure they're immune. I think they're like, if they lose everything, then suddenly
I've seen a few recently who look really immune to me.
Okay.
Alistair, I'm not standing by this statement. I'm standing in front of this statement saying I will protect it with my body. I'm saying that's how much I care about this statement.
I know. I think I was in the wrong trying to question the statement. Mm. I think...
Why...
I think...
If you stand... I don't think you should stand behind your beliefs. I think you should... Especially if your beliefs are abhorrent, you should stand in front of your beliefs so that nobody can see them, but you know they're there.
Standing behind them does have a kind of an idea. It makes it seem more like you're wedded to it and you're a very supportive wife of your beliefs.
Correct.
You know?
Behind every great belief.
I mean, in a way, that's kind of what Jordan Peterson is, because...
He's a belief wife?
Well, I think he's a wife to his own beliefs, because he knows, because he believes in traditional values.
Oh, of course.
And traditional roles for men and women, right? and then he says messed up stuff. And I've heard him say that he discovered that he can say something messed up and that the backlash causes people to defend him and then join his Patreon. So literally having bad ideas, right, and saying them out loud and then standing behind them and supporting them, right? His beliefs are his husband. He is the wife, because in the traditional sense, his bad beliefs are the provider in his relationship.
The breadwinner, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you've I think you're right. I think his next book should be called Belief Wife. Be your own belief wife.
Jordan Peterson, Belief Wife.
Can you write that down, Alistair?
Oh yeah, I'm writing it. I'm already mid sentence. Jordan Peterson is a belief wife.
Yeah, and people talk a bit about not being married to something. No, I'm not married to that idea.
Mm.
Well, I think he is married to his ideas.
He is married to the ideas. He might not believe them, right? Much like how in private, a wife in a traditional marriage like that might roll her eyes at her husband, you know, in private, you know, not where, you know, in public, she supports him and stands behind him and helps him out, because that keeps the marriage together for the children
and
whatnot.
For the children.
Right? Yes. But then behind behind closed doors, she's willing to admit, perhaps to a friend or to herself, you know, sure, he's a bit, it's a bit idiotic, this husband.
You can do things behind closed doors, but can you do things behind open doors?
Mm. Yes, I think it is very possible.
Oh, I guess that's if you open the door and you sneak into that little space behind the door.
Mm. Yes, so you're still not seen, but yeah. But then it seems like you're not hiding anything.
That's a really
except
good
idea. You are.
Yeah.
Except you are in the nook.
Mm.
In the little nook behind that is the classic hiding spot, isn't it?
Oh, the nook. I'm a big nook chook.
But behind the door, behind the area behind the door, I think that's probably the number one most used spot for hiding temporarily in maybe a playful way.
I wonder if under the bed could pip it. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you.
Hey, yeah, no, I can't think. I think in the years that I've been hiding,
yes.
I mean, this is from my own experience, okay? And I obviously accept that it's not universal, but I've probably hidden under a handful of beds.
This is a great...
But...
Yes.
But on a daily basis, I will run away from my children and hide behind a door, right? And you got to think internationally, there's probably more houses with doors than there are
houses
with beds that are off the ground with enough space underneath to hide. I think there's probably a lot of like haystacks, you know, with a blanket on top. There's probably a lot of mattresses on the ground.
But there's so many
beds these days.
But you also got to think that most houses will probably have more doors than beds. So again,
absolutely.
You're correct on that count as well. Probably even more so. That might be an even better argument than the one you were trying to make.
I won't even
concede that you successfully made your own argument, Alistair.
You know what? And Andy, I might even argue that the argument that your argument is bad
yes.
is an even better argument than your argument. I think if we were to entirely rank those... I mean, that might even be the best argument that we've used so far.
Mm.
And then it's probably my hiding behind doors argument is more than that. And then your argument about my argument not being that good an argument. And then probably your argument then about hiding under beds is probably the most hidden place. That's probably the least good one.
I think a listicle about the best hiding places or the best traditional hiding places or maybe just a small YouTube video. I think it should be a new trend online where people show us their hiding places.
Right? Yeah. And also, and if it was like a year, like a trend, like the 2024, what's... Like you know, at the end of the year, like what's coming up in 2024 in domestic hiding places, you know,
between the laundry basket and the edge of the bath.
I mean, I have been so impressed with myself in the last year with the amount of great new hiding places I've found where people have not been able to find me for a long time.
This is within your own home.
Within my own home.
I mean, that is really impressive because you're working within a pretty limited palette, you know. It's a well-explored area with a lot of familiar things. People tend to know every nook and cranny of their own home. And
I know, but...
Yeah, when you discover a new hiding place within your home, that is like mining a new Bitcoin at this point. They're hard to find.
There's places that people considered inaccessible that I discovered I could get into.
Wow.
and there's the added thing of like our house has been in chaos for like 6 months because we're getting rid of stuff and things like that. And so the landscape is changing and people sometimes expect doors to be open and boxes to be out of place. And so then you can go into places that were, you know, at one point considered, let's say, a full cupboard.
Mm.
And now I'm hiding. I'm in there. I'm curled up inside the cupboard. There's a box sticking out a little bit. But, you know, nobody thinks, oh, well, a man is in there. Even though they're looking for a man.
Do you ever...
Doesn't cross...
They're looking for a man. Do you ever
they're look-
consider Do you ever find a hiding space so good and think to yourself, I'm not going to burn this on this game of hide and seek with my children. I'm going to save this hiding space for a time when I genuinely don't want to be found by my family. This is too good. I mean, it's like an anecdote. I mean, I'm not going to use this anecdote on a podcast because one day I might be invited on a talk show. And then that's right. And then I will use my anecdote then.
Yes. It's like a hacker finding a back door into something. And
a
just
zero
saving
day
it for
exploit.
The, yeah. Saving it for the big score. Mm. Yeah. Obviously, you always keep a couple of perfect hiding spots in your back pocket for when you genuinely don't want to be found by your family.
I think we could absolutely get this off the ground. I would love to know about the hiding spaces that I think are that you think are relatively unique to your house. Like in general, I'm not, you know, this would be like the MTV Cribs, that cultural touchstone that I'm sure we've referred to many times,
nonstop for 10 years.
Yes, but this is MTV's Hidey Holes, and we go.
Oh yeah,
we sort good. Of buzz past the crib. We don't really focus on any of that, and we think about just the little spots. Oh, but between the stack of ermine coats and the golden statue of Rafael Nadal,
and each time somebody is showing you a new hiding spot, you walk into the room not being able to see them. So you kind of get to kind of look for them a little bit.
This is a really good idea.
This is a really good idea for
exploring a celebrity's home. They have to hide, take it in turns to hide in every room of their house. And then you as the host go and try and find them. And what a perfect... Alistair, this is such a good idea. This is such a good idea. It's
we can't
a reality
release this episode,
TV
Andy.
Show based on hide and seek.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's also an interview
at Celebrity
show.
Times. It's an interview. It's an interview.
This is the new hot ones. This is how people promote their films.
Oh, wow.
Show me your best, you know, and it would be great, you know, maybe because maybe some celebrities only have one or two hidey holes in their house, you know, that they really know about. And so, you know, on a film with a big cast, you can just go, you can do one of each. You know, obviously it's a lot of traveling for you and the crew, but that's fine.
I'm trying to think of a pun name for the show now. Hidey Holmes?
What's that a pun on? Hidey Holes. I mean, celebrity Hidey Holes.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's got a like a yee-haw kind of feel to it. Hidey Hole. You know?
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
that could be one of the catchphrases.
Imagine if we got this up, Andy. This is how we could make people interested in Australian entertainment once again.
Yes. We're going to Russell Crowe's house. We know he's in there somewhere.
And just knowing that at that moment when you walk in the room, that Russell Crowe is hiding.
Do you... Do you do the full counting to 10? Here I come, ready or not?
Sure, yeah. Is we it... might even have a... Yeah. Yeah, you start doing it, and we've got a graphic as well that kind of shows you. They're probably like that shows you different rooms of the house as you hit each number.
Yeah.
One, two, three, four. It's like, you know, laundry, kitchen, den.
Now is
garage.
Russell Crowe only hiding in one location, or does he hide turn by turn in multiple rooms of the house? So we have to find him several times, and that's the way we explore different rooms? Or is it that he's just hidden somewhere and we're going to explore a whole lot of the house before we find him? Because there's the risk, of course, that you find him really early on.
Yeah. I think, but I mean, Andy, there's the joy of editing.
Yeah, of course.
You know, what a joy. I mean, but then also you can walk around the house and you can have him show you other less good hidey holes that he was thinking of using.
The ones that he discounted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it shows you his house. And the thing is that they don't even have to show you their house. Technically, it could just be an Airbnb or something like that. You know, like you could.
No.
No, you. I mean, I know, but I mean, like for anybody who's like afraid to show you their home, I'm just saying on the download, we're not going to tell the audience this, but you could cheat it.
I think.
Oh, Andy's, you're losing the whole mojo of this whole thing.
Yeah, well, in a way I am, because I think that takes away a lot of the artistic value of what we're trying to do. You know, and it turns it into just another artificial...
I was trying
to do something real for once.
You know what, Andy? You're right. I was cheapening Celebrity Heidi Hole.
I think Celebrity Heidi Holes could be the last hope the for last... truth.
And I mean, it'd bring... If that was on TV, it would bring people back to terrestrial TV.
Watch that. You would absolutely watch that.
Yeah.
Hamish Blake's house.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, you could actually... You could probably sell this to the real estate... domain.com.au, right? And you could pair it when they're trying to sell their houses. You know, that whole thing where they... Where they, you know, often do a little puff piece in the newspaper. They go, fucking Tim Rogers is selling his you know, Touareg, you know, like his Touareg sort of, you know,
five bedroom
Art Nouveau apartment,
yeah,
you know, and then you walk in and Tim Rogers is hiding.
Is he hiding there on the day of the open house for inspection? No,
I mean that's fun, but I think, you know, that's just too hard to film. You know, all the release forms you got to do with all the other people there.
Sure. I mean, in that version, it's no longer a TV show. It's just something they do to get more people through the door and maybe distract them from noticing some of the structural defects around the place. Although maybe it will also backfire, because if they're inspecting nooks and crannies, maybe they're more likely to spot some rising damp or...
What about this? Come to Mr. Rogers' open home and hide and go seek game. No Tim kickers.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, because you don't want people who come just to find him and then give him a little kick.
Do you think that there's a sketch in on Facebook, right?
Yeah.
When somebody
I think there's
on Facebook Marketplace, when some Alice said, "How dare you interrupt me?"
I know. I am so sorry. I genuinely am sorry, and
I've got the wind in my sails and such a juicy, ripe idea.
I know, and I was going to do it for such an awful gag of, "Yep, I think there are sketches there
on Facebook."
You know, it's just ends the conversation.
Is that what you mean? People's drawings when you say sketches?
No, people post comedy sketches on Facebook. It's one of the... In 2013, all of the internet companies pivoted to video on Facebook.
Mm.
Comedy sketches, you know, College Humor. This might have been what killed College Humor, was that that pivot to Facebook video.
Weren't they already doing videos?
Yeah, but they weren't. They were doing it on their own website,
right?
And then they pivoted to Facebook video, and then Facebook could decide who gets to see what for. Wow. You know, they could throttle how many people come and see it, yeah, unless you pay a tremendous amount of money.
Well, they finally got that money out of College Humor that they'd always
wanted. That money meant everything to the comedy making community. It meant nothing to Facebook.
Yeah.
It meant nothing to Zuck. Just another stack in his pile.
But maybe not. Maybe he keeps all the money in different piles.
Maybe all of it means a lot to him.
Which artist, which struggling artist he managed to get a few more dollars out of, just trying to move a few tickets to their comedy festival show in 2017.
And think about this.
He's got the money there in cash in a little jar, and he's got the name of the comedian on it. And it's not much, you know, it's $10 or $15. But the fact that he got it from them, they weren't going to spend it. They didn't have to spend it, but he made them spend it.
just the idea of a guy who defends billionaires by saying you wouldn't go so hard on billionaires if you knew how much Zuck cares about every stack of dollars that he has.
You should like see him with this money.
You should see him with the money and how much it means to him.
How happy it makes him. That's nice. That's a sketch idea. Write that down.
Yeah.
And then I guess we would have to actually see Zuckerberg.
See it. And he's playing with it. And he's like he treats it like his own baby. And he's
Gucci, Gucci, Gucci. It would have to be a thing where there's some... Yeah, it would have to be a specific thing where there's somebody who is really on a tear, you know, big rant about billionaires, and a billionaire defender steps up and says, look, maybe it's like a Christmas carol. It's like a reverse Christmas carol, right? Where there's a poor person complaining about billionaires and how stingy they are and that sort of thing. And then a ghost comes and says, well, what if I could show you how happy that money makes him? And they take
Andy,
him on wink, yes.
A reverse Christmas Carol is the perfect Christmas comedy.
Where we get to see how happy being rich makes the billionaires, and the poor people decide that they're actually glad that they have the money.
And like instead of a guy who has too much money and doesn't want to give, it's a person who has nothing and doesn't want to work anymore.
And doesn't want to work on Christmas.
Yeah, and they show him how much it hurts the employers, you know. You know, like
it's a really good, like at least a trailer for a.
And no, Andy, it'll be so fun.
You want to make the whole film? You think Andy, it's going to be equally fun the whole way through?
They need Andy. We'll find a way to make it emotionally poignant, you know, or whatever. But the market needs Christmas films. That's one of the few types that just get made every year and need to be made.
I think there's a
beast that needs to be hungered.
I
know, and we're gonna. This is season five, Andy. This is something we talk about every. Is the new Wood Ants like this.
This is the Christmas season. Season five, Christmas season.
It's the Christmas season, and season six will be the one down under, where they go and live. They go visit Australia.
Imagine that. Two in the think tank down under. I mean, yeah. Ironically, you will probably be in Canada at the time. I know.
But, you know, a lot of the time when you leave your home country, that's when you sort of lock into that identity so much more.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, I've already written a bit about seeing a poisonous snake, right? Like, my brain is already, like, sticking its claws into my Australianness. You know, I'm like,
refusing
I'm ready to
let go.
I'm ready to flex my billabongs and my, you know, and show how, you know,
your cooler bars.
Yeah, I show the word. I've already purchased a metaphorical cork hat, you know, to take to Australia. All right, a reverse Christmas carol.
It's given Australia's a pathetic obsession with our own mythology. It's amazing to me that I've never seen anybody make a small hat. Tiny little hat with tiny little corks hung all around it that you can actually put on top of a beer bottle, or probably more aptly a wine or champagne bottle, so that your cork can have a little cork hat, little hat with corks on strings. That seems like an absolute...
You know what it should be? It should just be a little bottle, a little like bottle stopper, like whatever they are, you know, those... Is that what you just said it was?
Yeah, no, like, that wasn't what I said, but that's really good. That's really, really funny.
Andy, that
will
sell.
Fucking idea. I mean, if this was 25 years ago, we would we would sell that idea and we'd become trillionaires.
I know, but you know what we could do is that we could get people into it by making a whole film about the cork hat. Right? We're not really in this for the film.
Here's another idea that people
would love. This for the cork hat bottle stopper.
Here's another idea that people would love.
You're leaving me this idea behind.
No, well, but it's very much in the same realm.
Okay, Gregory.
I'm still with you and your idea, but I want to introduce a third idea into the relationship.
Great.
I want to open it up. I
love that. To a poly idea reel.
Yes. I'm trying to think of another polyamory pun, but I don't think I'm going to get it. It is for your beer can, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a hat for your beer can. So we have the stubby cooler, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what about a broad brimmed hat for a beer can that would go around the top, okay? And mm-hmm. it'll cover your hand, right?
Yeah. Like and a skirt or something hand. Like that. Like your hand is up a skirt.
Like your hand is up a skirt, but more aptly, like it is under the brim of a hat, Alistair.
Sure, sure. Oh, yeah.
Right? And and so it protects it from the sun, but also protects the can from the sun as well.
Oh, yeah. In a sunny area.
Mm. That'd be another good little gimmick.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
A stubby holder that has a little broad brim on it.
Could it be a cork hat?
Of course.
With a little area where there's less cork.
Where your hand
so that you can
in.
Get your hand goes in.
Of course it'll be a cork hat, Alistair. Of course it is. I mean, there's the issue when you tip the can up to take a sip from the... Because you can still have the hole at the top, obviously. Or all the corks will fall into your mouth. It'll be very
I reckon if you have it a little bit lower... You know, you have a little bit of that top area.
Mm.
You know, like how hats have a top.
Oh, of course.
That kind of like, you know, like a top hat.
I was thinking all brim.
You were thinking brim from brim to brim. You were thinking it's like essentially putting a frisbee on top of the beer.
A fez is a really, that's a no brim hat, isn't it?
Yeah. When you first started a fez, I thought you were trying to say offensive, but offensive. Now, what would that be?
yes.
It's a fez with a lot of holes in it that you wear it. Yeah. And then when you finish cooking pasta, you put it upside down, put it in the sink, put all the pasta in there, water gets through the holes.
Mm.
That's a fez sieve to me.
That's really good.
I find that.
Was thinking earlier, Alistair.
Yeah.
Is about margarine, what? Is that short for Margaret Arene? Sorry for changing the subject. Back to this hat that you can strain
pasta with. No. I mean, what is the connection between margarine?
You could strain pasta through a trucker's cap.
Absolutely.
Is that why those hats are like that? Because they eat a lot of Maggi 2-minute noodles on the road, and they need to be able to.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they've got to just, you know, they live in such a compact area, you know, especially you know those guys who are sleeping in the back of their cab or whatever.
Yeah, it's all about efficiency.
It's all about you know having all the tools on you. So what are they like? I mean, but what are they cooking it in? You know, is that something that's also on them?
Maybe just under the hood of the truck.
Under the hood of the truck.
You know,
on top of the hood. Think about that. You get that extra sun. Oh, but you also get the wind. That probably cools it down.
Under the hood, you get the heat that's kept in. I suspect I could be wrong, but I think it'll get hotter under the hood than it would on top of the hood.
Would it get too hot, do you think?
How do you feel about this? You go to a very high-class restaurant.
Yeah.
And you have a delightful meal, and then at
sounds
the end,
so good.
They reveal to you that the pasta for the pasta soba noodle salad was strained through a trucker's cap. They bring out the trucker there. You get to meet the trucker.
Yeah,
they get to sniff his hat that the pasta was strained through.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be great if they took him, if they brought him to you before the pasta came and they just let you sniff his hat and then you go, very good. And then they strain the pasta through it.
I think that's a good seed, actually.
You know?
That's,
yeah.
That's perfect to me. To me, that scene to me is perfect.
Is perfect. Okay, I'm going to write that down. It's one of the most insane mini sketches we've ever come up with. But, guy.
They strain the pasta right there at the table. It's a bit like teppanyaki in that way.
But they're just pouring the water like all over the floor. Well, or they have a little sink. They ever bring out a little sink?
They bring out a, they bring out a pot like, or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's like teppanyaki, but instead of a hot plate in front of you, it's a big sink.
Oh, very good. They do the washing up.
They do the dishes in front of you. Dinner and a show. I don't know why I like that so much. Okay, it brings Trucker out.
Ooh, these dishes, these plates are so clean. My compliments to the kitchen hand.
The trucker's hat.
There's no bits of old parmesan stuck between the tines of this fork. My compliments to
very good.
The dish pig.
I mean, yeah, like imagine a guy, sort of an old guy, you know, with his wife.
I can use the term dish pig, by the way, because I used to be.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can use that word.
Of course, yeah, yeah. It's much better than hygiene officer that the woke mob forces you to use these days.
Yes.
Then they strain the pasta through it. Sorry. I'm picturing like a, you know, a rich couple watching you know, watching the dishes, and they're pointing to like the utensil bit, and he's just, you know, they're talking about the craftsmanship and things like that on the on that clean.
Lovely. Yeah.
There's no bubbles on it. There's no bubbles on that at all. I saw I think a reel or something like that from a French lady at one point complaining about how her husband doesn't wash or rinse the bubbles off the dishes. And she goes, look at this. It's not clean. Look, there's the bubbles there. That's not clean.
And did that remind you of when we used to live together at the warehouse and I didn't rinse the bubbles off anything?
I mean, I don't care about the bubbles.
No, did I? You did rinse them off. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, right.
You were pro-rinse. I think you were a little bit flabbergasted that I wasn't rinsing off the bubbles.
I mean, I guess it just depends on how... I mean, I think for me to be aghast about... I mean, maybe I'm a different man now, but I think now for me to be aghast about how many, about bubbles on plates, there probably have to be a shitload of bubbles. Now, that could just be you. Maybe you're a big... You'll use a lot of soap.
A big bubble bath.
Yeah, like, and you probably use like a... You know, you probably use a poisonous amount of soap. And then there's just...
I mean, it was an interesting position for you to adopt, assuming I'm not misrepresenting you, but it was an interesting position for you to adopt because you also had a position against washing any food off your plates at all. You're like,
sure. As in, like, I didn't do enough of the dishes.
Yeah, or indeed any of the dishes. I remember one time, Alistair, when I watched you try and do the dishes and you made it seem so agonizing a process.
And at that point, it wasn't even...
easier for me to take over and do it myself than to watch you suffer because I'm not a cruel man.
No, you're not. I mean, and at that point, because I remember that moment, like, because I remember realizing, not at the beginning, but later on into it, that you were watching me. So I had suffered genuinely. And then gone, oh my God, now Andy's watching me with a, like, with a sad look in his own eye.
There was so much sighing and stopping and stepping away and coming back. Like it seemed to be every dish was a new, like...
I mean, yeah, I you know, these days, that's why I have to do it. I have to do it with, like, a podcast or something now because... Or else, like, it really is like, I have to be going like, all right, come on, here we go. Here we go. We're doing this, you know?
I mean that says something, though. You're really present. You're really experiencing it.
Yeah.
For better or worse, yeah. You are there in the moment.
I think I get a tiny bit of joy from it now because I do know that when it gets done, that I'm bringing joy to my beloved, or at least less agony. So I that's one of my main areas of focus now, is the dishes and dinner, making dinner and stuff.
It's amazing how we evolve.
Isn't it amazing?
How many sketch ideas have we written down, Alistair?
Well, Andy, we've written down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I mean, one of them just says cork hat. One of them says cork hat bottle stopper.
I mean, that's one of the best ideas we've ever had.
Well, I know, but I think that for me, the idea there is it's taking the toy manufacturer's path to making this film, is that really we're in the business
of cork hat bottle stoppers,
yeah. Right? We make this. We stockpile them. We are ready to go. We are ready to launch these onto the market, right? But then we make a 90-minute film.
Yeah, Transformers style. Way,
yeah, that really glorifies the cork hat bottle stopper.
Yes.
And then once that hits the eyeballs and ears of the general public, they are going to be starting to Google, how do I get a cork hat bottle stopper? And we are going to be ready.
I heard the words eyeballs and ears. And yeah. In my brain, I interpreted that as the eye having both balls and ears. So that's how that image landed in my mind.
The eyes, balls, and ears.
Mm.
It'd be great if each sense had its own balls. Set of senses and reproductive organs. You know what would be cool? If guys didn't actually shoot out sperm, but instead they had two shots at it. They had two, and they would just have to put a testicle, which is kind of like a flesh egg.
Yeah, wow.
Right? And they would just give it to their beloved, and they would put it in there, and that would form half of the baby, and then the egg would go in. It would probably go around it, and then the egg would go. I mean, that's probably actually how it works.
I mean, how would you feel if you had to ejaculate a testicle at the end of your penis?
I mean, that is crazy. I mean, but it's either that or you open the bag with a knife.
No, I think the whole testicle has to come out.
Come through, yeah. And then you got to
like
cut its little
an enormous kidney stone.
And then you got to cut its little umbilical cord.
Wow.
I mean, and that would be a good system for a country like China, where they were kind of like trying to limit how many kids people had. And so each man could have a tops of two kids, assuming that the testicle doesn't split in two and create twins in the egg.
The idea of ejaculating out a whole testicle is incredible.
I mean, it almost
in a
makes,
way that it hasn't been used in a teen film or something.
I mean,
right?
I mean, it almost makes more sense for why we have orgasms now. Mm. If you were to ejaculate your testicles, because that would be so painful that
you'd need
the
to cover
orgasm
it up.
Would be there to cover it up.
Right, like spraying some air freshener after you've done a huge shit. Huge explosive shit.
I mean,
that coats the bowl. You don't. You don't get out the lube brush and scrape
Andy,
it off. Spray a little air freshener around.
I don't even know if that works in the terms of like the word cover up, but not. I don't think conceptually.
I don't think it.
I guess the more I started arguing the point, the less I believed in it. I was standing in front of it now. I'm now standing in front of the idea, hoping that everybody...
Anymore.
Yeah. What were we talking about?
Alistair, I don't know if you know this, but we have listeners, and sometimes they support us on Patreon, and my God, that's a beautiful thing that they do. they're the true heroes. They're the true frontline workers in my book. My book of true frontline workers. The people who support us on Patreon. And sometimes they send in words. Three words.
Absolutely. From you them. Know, the we have a series of soldiers and supporters in the Discord, the Two in the Think Tank Discord, which you can find in the show notes. You know, and they work hard every day, coming up with their own sketch ideas. You know, sometimes they're doing their own streaming. Sometimes they're just telling us about little interesting things that are happening in their lives. And I got to tell you, each one of them is a goddamn killer out there in the world. You know, they're a killer, and I mean that in a complimentary way.
Yeah, yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah. Now, one of those killers is our listener Lizzie. Who has sent in three words from a listener. And I believe that listener is Lizzie.
A listener. We also featured Lizzie on the Patreon. The most recent Patreon episode. And that was fun as well. So I'm on tenterhooks.
And we came up with ideas for weapons for dogs, because most weapons are made for humans. And Lizzie commented saying that they really loved the dog tongue trigger
mechanism.
On gun. Yeah, the dog tongue triggered gun. So, Andy, whoa, what was that? Okay, you got three words. What are your words, Andy?
The first word is coelacanth. Coelacanth, that previously thought extinct prehistoric fish, but they discovered some off the waters of South Africa.
Really? Very recently?
Oh, within the last 30 years.
Yeah, great. Well, let me check. No, it's not coelacanth. Sorry, Andy. The first word is use.
Use. Okay.
Yeah.
Second word is these.
These. Yeah. Let me check. No. It's Andes.
Use Andes. Okay, the third word is going to be words.
Let me check. I'm sorry, you got one letter correct. But there's three of that letter in this word. So I guess you almost got it completely correct. The third word is guesses.
Use Andy's guesses. So that means that the words that we are using today are coelacanth.
Yeah.
These. And words.
It's amazing, because that's actually really interesting, is that people could use this to write a sentence that instructs you what you want to do after the words have been guessed, rather than have the words be the basis for the it's like Lizzie put a little algorithm algorithm through.
Well, they piggybacked an executable file onto what was supposed to be a static
I think we just got hacked is exactly what I was gonna say. Lizzie found a zero day flaw.
Exploit.
A 0 day exploit.
In the three word system that we will have to patch over.
I don't think we can patch it. I think this creates a whole new world.
Mm-hmm.
A brand new place I never knew.
Oh, okay. Well, then if the words are coelacanth, these words, the first thing that makes me think of is us discovering some new English words. Right?
Mm.
In an old tomb. We go down into Shakespeare's tomb, right?
Yeah.
Imagine that. Where we finally discover Shakespeare's tomb.
Isn't that great? He was buried with all his words.
All his words. Yes, a whole lot of words that had been lost. And then we got these extra words in the language now.
Because they say that he came up with however many words, you know, or whatever. He introduced them to the English language. Right, but then you realize, I guess, you know, if he was coming up with heaps of words, he probably didn't put them all in his place. Didn't find a place for all of them.
Mm.
So he would have all these words that he hadn't used.
Yeah.
He was probably writing another play. He's going to put them in that. Oh, throw in this one. A shalamander. You know, that's one of them.
I think it's a really good idea. And I personally find the idea of being an archaeologist and finally discovering the lost tomb of Shakespeare very exciting. You go down there. There's lots of books and stuff. He's been, yes, as you say, buried with all his plays. There may be even a curse upon the tomb of Shakespeare. Who knows?
What would the curse be, Andy?
Let's see. Well, there's already that thing about Macbeth.
And what is it if you say good luck or if you say the name of the play?
Yeah, you say the name of the play Macbeth in a theatre. It brings bad luck. I don't know what the curse is, Alistair. I'm unable to think of one.
Andy, we come up with sketch ideas. We come up with sketch ideas here.
Not curse,
not possible curses. Unless, and people who sign up to our Patreon should send in ideas for the side tank. Mm. Also, Sev joined recently, which was very nice.
Oh, Sev.
Hi, Sev.
Hi, Sev.
Thanks so much, Sev. Yeah, they could send in side tank ideas. But we could come up with types of curses for... I mean, that would be a great side tank episode. New types of curses.
Mm. And you know, maybe even context or uses for curses.
Yes, where they could put... I mean, a curse would be a great thing for to put on your phone for if somebody... Or your credit card if somebody uses it. You know, uses it without your permission.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think that kind of thing.
Curses.
But of course.
Yeah.
Say, and you were going to say something.
Well, curses were, in a way, the original sort of security, you know, system for protecting stuff. And
my God.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to say that, Alistair.
You know, Andy, I just feel like sometimes. You are underrepresented on this podcast, and I want to make sure that you have a voice, and that I amplify that voice by giving shutting up every now and then, and letting you have a chance to say things from your point of view. And finally, I have heard those sentences,
and
I hear you, Andy. I hear you,
and I feel reassured that I don't need to do that again, Alistair.
Yes,
I think we did it. I think Shakespeare's tomb, Shakespeare, the coelacanth of words.
Yes, I love that. Andy, here is the sketch ideas for today. The prefix green means made out of windows. Look, maybe that wasn't the best one. I think it can count as an idea. It can appear.
Yes, absolutely.
A dumb guy in a show could say it.
It's season 4/5.
He believes this, right? We've just come up with a great idea for a character trait. Then we've got Jordan Peterson.
We haven't just created a sketch. We've created an entire man. Is that not enough for you?
Is that not enough for you?
We created life.
It's alive!
Speaking of which, Jordan, if you listen to the latest Sci-Fi Try Guys online, see if you can hear the real-life crash of thunder that occurred at my house at the point in Alistair's story where he mentions pulling a brain out of a bag and slapping it down onto a slab for a sort of a brain transplant-style experiment. It was an amazing bit of IRL Foley.
Yeah, and that's also on the Patreon. So normally we don't mention the Patreon this much, but today we are really promoting hard.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's because we're unemployed. Are you unemployed?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so I'm unemployed. So that's why we're doing it. But I wasn't even doing it consciously. Andy, I wasn't even doing it subconsciously. This was all accident. All right, next one is... So I've already said Jordan Peterson is a belief wife.
Mm-hmm.
We got 2024's best new hiding places.
Yes.
This is a fake video for a fake newspaper. maybe like the Shallot or something like that.
Oh, really good.
And yeah, and then we got Celebrity Hidey Holes. The best new show, the best new celebrity interview show on the internet. We got you wouldn't go so hard on billionaires if you saw how much he cared about each money. Dollar.
Yeah.
Then we have, I hadn't written down each dollar. Okay. Then we have a reverse Christmas Carol, poor person who has nothing, doesn't want to work, and then ghosts show him how much he hurts his employers and his fellow town members by, you know, leaving the cafe understaffed or something like that, you know?
Leaving the Amazon warehouse.
Look how long people are waiting for their ham and cheese croissants.
Look at the productivity KPI metric on this spreadsheet. Several decimal points below.
Oh, and look, look at the middle manager getting grilled by his upper management for the drop in productivity in his section.
Mm.
Look at him at home. Look at the tears running down his face as he tells his wife that his upper manager is a tiny bit disappointed and is riding his ass.
Look as his wife turns away in disgust, can no longer bear to touch him.
He shows her his Christmas bonus check, which is 13% less than last year's because of this thing that you have done.
Look at his children.
They have all the new computer games, but they're not allowed to buy any of the bonus packages. the extended they didn't
DLC.
Get the they didn't get the limited edition Zelda model Wii controllers. All right, you get the point.
We did it.
Then we have Cork Hat Bottle Stopper with the film tie-in.
Mm-hmm.
I think this film tie-in, Andy, is going to be big.
I think this Cork Hat Bottle Stopper is a fucking actual idea, Alistair. I know you're most excited about the film tie-in.
Andy, I want to make a film with you.
We invented a genuine piece of souvenir crap.
Yeah. And all you want to do, Al, is market it. You don't care about this product. All you want to do is have people, heaps of people, hear about it and buy it. Oh, you're obsessed, Al. What about the purity of the idea?
Alistair, remember the way that you want to do it is by making a movie about a cork hat.
Well, it'll feature it in some fun way.
All right.
Maybe people will transport
them to
drug
in the next James Andy. Bond. We shouldn't have to make a whole movie.
Andy,
let's just get product placement.
You want to make a movie. You want to get to write something funny.
This conversation,
Andy,
is going nowhere.
Andy, this is the industry you work in.
We have never failed to communicate,
Andy,
on
Andy.
Such a profound level.
We're not in product design. We're not manufacturers.
I don't even know if you're joking, Alistair, and I can't continue this conversation.
This is what we actually could do.
Stop talking. This is not how people communicate.
I think I just found another fucking hard drive. Oh my God. This is insane. I keep having to go through hard drives. 500 gigabyte. All right. That's good. That's a good thing. Because I found small hard drives. And then instead of having to bring these big disk ones that I have, I don't think they travel well. They feel fragile.
Alistair, what's the next sketch idea?
Okay, sorry. we've got a waiter brings trucker out and lets diner smell the trucker hat.
Before they strain it through.
And then they say, very good. And then they strain pasta through it. And then we've got the testicle ejaculation. That's the the testicles go into the woman, and a guy's only get two shots at making incredible kids.
Alistair, you should at least try on stage doing something like a line like along the lines of, look, I'm not doing that well at the moment in my life. If you want a sense of how well I'm not doing, I recently strained pasta through a trucker's cap. You know, that's just the kind of little thing.
Sure, yeah. Well, I tried a joke out yesterday. I'm still not sure if it's great yet, but it's something like this. It was kind of like, it's maybe to go on this bit that is entirely hanging on your line of, I'm here for a long time, not a good time. It's about not killing myself. I'm never going to kill myself. I'm here for a long time, not a good time, right? But then I was thinking, it's like, because I think it's like, I'm just happy with anything. I used to think that life was about, having a good time, right? But then I had kids and I thought, oh, it's got to be something else.
Yeah.
Oh,
I love it.
Yeah, it must be something else. I don't know. Maybe it's struggle. Maybe that's what it's about.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed. And then the last sketch idea is a tomb of Shakespeare's with all his words.
His unreleased words.
Unreleased is the part I was about to write. Unused. Unreleased words. Oh,
did you hear Shakespeare's dropping a new word? This is people.
Shalamander.
People in the time of Shakespeare talking about the fact that Shakespeare's working on a new word. Everyone's really excited to hear it.
I think that's a really fun idea. I think that's a great sketch. Like Shakespeare's dropping a new word. I wonder what it's going to mean. People would say. They have a listening party.
Yeah. Well, that's really good. They hear the word. Do they know what it means? Or do they just hear the word and that's it? And then they speculate about what it might mean.
That's amazing. I mean, I guess they might learn later. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how it is yet. I mean, sometimes you could tease the new word.
Exciting.
You know, by really, and then maybe you charge people to come
release
and find
one
you know,
of the syllables. How,
yeah, like you know, you release the word, and then later on, it's like if people want to find out what it means, they've got to come to like the show.
Or you put the definition behind a paywall.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's how he managed to support his playwriting, which was, you know, actually was a loss leader. He was actually making all his money. He's like it's like the barbecue chickens at the Woolworths. He was like, the loss leader is
that's a loss leader. You got it right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so he the plays, he doesn't really make much money on it, but he does it so that people are interested in him, so that he can make money on the words that he releases, which are actually way easier to make,
much quicker to write.
Yeah. Andy, that's it. We did it.
Here we go.
You know, I thought that...
Thank you so much for listening to In the Think Tank. You were saying something, Alistair, and I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
I think that this episode started off pretty slow, but I really loved how good it got by the...
got to some good places.
By the end. I think we went to...
going there with you.
Andy,
I'll reveal something. I was early on. I was considering saying, "Should we start again?"
Andy, I almost said it as well.
Yeah.
But then we talked about the notebook and stuff like that. But you know what? A lot of the people who are listening probably considered quitting as well. They go, "Oh, they're not on form today," but they forget that we really warm up. You know.
Yeah.
That sometimes we got to get out of our life mood.
Like noodles before
we can be
under the bonnet of
a trucker's. A B double. Yeah, right.
Alistair, thank you. Can you send me your file?
Yeah. Well, normally we talk about this. We've been. Are you ready to reveal to the audience that we've been bypassing George a little bit recently?
Yeah, I've been doing editing. If the audio quality's been not as good, that's why.
Yeah, so let us know how you feel.
So
let us know if you
organized. We haven't been able to get them to George in time.
Yeah, let us know if you can. If you can feel the Georgelessness.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyway, and thanks so much for listening.
We
love
you.
That's right. You.
Bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.